Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan here. For today, I mean, what can I say? We have on the show the incredible, the amazing, the badass, the superstar, the one and only, the epic, Hannah. Hannah, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And what better way to have an incredible, super badass day than to be chatting with someone as badass as you? You know what I mean?
I am badass. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
There you go. I love it. Now, before we start, I do want to thank those who are tuning in. Thank you so much. If you're new to the channel, well, as always, you know, don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, follow. Helps a lot. But most important, in the description below, you're going to find all of Hannah's social media. Let's follow her. Let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Hannah. And let's find out why she's super badass. Now, without further ado, let's jump in here. So I want to start this whole conversation by, you know, throwing out the first question, which is, what drew you into acting in the first place? You know, was there a specific moment in life or experience that made you realize, you know what? This is going to be my path now.
I always loved acting, but I'm from a very small town in a state where there's no acting really. Like, I'm from Wyoming.
Okay.
And more cowboys, more antelope than people. So it's okay. It was always something I loved, but it wasn't something that felt like I could do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could do like plays, I could do summer theater here and there, but it just honestly didn't really feel like it was something that I could like actually make a career out of. But it was the thing I loved more than anything. And I think when I really fell in love with it, I used to do like these backyard plays with my sister. We would just like, you know, this is pre-internet and pre-smartphone, I should say. And so we like actually had to go outside and play, and we would create these like characters, and we would just exist in these other worlds. And it was so much fun. So I loved doing that. And when I was in middle school, my English class put on a melodrama play, and I was cast as like the bad guy, the mustache twirling bad guy. And I just loved it. I had so much fun. And I realized, oh man, I can make people laugh. This is fun. I'm funny. And also it just felt so free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done something that just makes you feel like, oh, this is what it's like to be alive? That's what I felt like. And so that was just some middle school class thing that we did in class. And nobody even saw it except for our class. But I just like, that's where I caught the bug, and I really couldn't stop after that. My parents were really supportive too. My dad is an amazing singer. But his parents didn't encourage him to pursue that as a career. Like, you know, back in the day, that wasn't a responsible thing to do.
So
he became an engineer, but he always like encouraged us to perform. And ultimately, when I decided to go to school for acting at the University of Wyoming, my parents were both like, that's not practical career path. Mm-hmm. You know, they had that mindset, mm-hmm. but it's just like, this is all I can do. Honestly, yeah. This is all I want to do. And so they supported me. And then when they saw me in my first college play, they really came on board with me and were like, okay, yeah, we're behind you the whole way. So
there you go.
Yeah. Really
epic
blessed
start. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that even till this day, whenever you want to say, you know, that you want to, I don't know, starting acting or music, you know, like in arts, like specifically, even till this day, they still have like this stereotype in which they will say like, oh, you're going to starve, you know, why don't you find something stable, you know, things like that. So,
yeah, which is, it's so true. I think I heard Jim Carrey say like, you can fail at being an accountant, you know, you can fail doing all sorts of, which I certainly would have, if I would have gone into a path like accounting or something like that, you know, because that's not how my brain works.
Yeah.
I would not have thrived in that. I just feel like everybody's built so differently, and you gotta go with what is working for you naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, certain people are made to do certain things. And if you're made to be a performer or to be a non-traditional, you know, make a living in a non-traditional way, like you have to just at least try it.
Yeah.
If you fail, you fail, and you can go back and do something else. But but for me personally, I took a long break. I quit acting actually in college because I was burned out. I didn't have space in my life for like solid community or like a spiritual background. And I had a bit of a like quarter life crisis. And so I did completely quit acting. I quit school. And I actually went and started working at State Farm Insurance and Wells Fargo Bank, all these jobs that I was just so bad at and miserable every day. And it wasn't until 6 years later that I actually got back into acting. And I mean, it's not easy, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to even just be able to struggle in the field that I love, you know?
And even like life itself will be telling you, like they will be sending you like small messages when you were like in the wrong path. And it's interesting because when you pay attention to it, you're like, oh, I'm actually on, perhaps I'm doing something that I shouldn't, like somehow, like life sometimes I have discovered that have like that tend to send you like this small signals here and there, in order to kind of make you realize that you're on the, on the wrong path, let's say. So the other day I was checking this kind of interview that they did to this kind of a speaker, and he was telling, and actually what he was telling, it actually kind of was making sense that, for example, let's say you have you have your kids, they go to school, and then whenever you will see how well they are, for example, let's say that on literature they get like an A plus, and on math they had like a C, right? And he was saying like instead of forcing your child to get an A on math, if you see that, for example, on literature he has like an A plus, perhaps that's kind of a signal that you should kind of focus a little more there, because who knows, maybe you are witnessing the next big author, so instead of suppress that and make him kind of make him go the same way as everyone does, try to see things like a little bit different, and encourage on those abilities that he or she might have, which
That's
I do
good.
think that there is something that perhaps they should start doing on schools, perhaps, instead of following the same path as everyone else. I mean, the other day I was checking that the same path I followed when I was on school was the same that my parents did when they were kids. You know what I mean? So, which is crazy.
Yeah, totally. That's good stuff. I have I don't know if you think about like this is my calling or this is what I'm called to do, or that phrase is kind of like iffy to me because I think calling can be sometimes like your calling is whatever is right in front of you at the time. Like if you have children, you're called to provide for them, right? You can like I'm called to do this and not like abandon them. But I do think there are specific like paths that are put in people. And somebody, I think his name is Oz Guinness. Hold on, my dog is losing his mind. One
No,
second.
it's okay.
Benny, come here, Benny. Okay, go lay down. Go lay down. Oh my gosh, my dog, he's so cute. So his definition of calling is where your deep gladness and where the world's deepest needs meet. So, like the path that you're meant to do is where the thing that gives you the deepest joy, and when you do it, you're like you're so alive and all that, plus where it intersects with like filling a void that the world has. Like the world actually needs you to show up in this certain way. That's what his definition of calling is, and I love that because it's different for everybody, just like what we're talking. And it's also not about yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Did you ever did like this test in which they will test kind of your abilities here? And to that, they will be like offering you different kind of career paths. Did you ever have that? Okay.
Actor, singer, performer always came up. Writer, pastor came up.
Interesting.
What else would come up? Nothing in the analytical or numbers, because I'm just so bad at that. So I'm no, not my friend, and I'm So,
Yeah, I can totally get it. Yeah.
yeah.
And moving here a little bit forward and focusing a little bit more on your acting career. Tell me, like, how do you approach getting into the mindset of a character? Do you have a specific technique going on here, or like, what is your thing, let's say?
I do not have a specific technique. I am very fluid about whatever's working for me in that season because things shift. I used to be very method, which would be like I was just almost it was hard to separate myself from the character. And that was I it worked. It worked. But there was then some jobs that I got on that were just like it was really damaging for my personal life, honestly. Because I just had a hard time separating what I was experiencing in that character with what then I would take it home and like, you know, share that with my family. And that was maybe not the best thing. Or for myself, just like to not be able to be a separate human being. And then somebody reminded me of that quote from, I'm going to ruin it. Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman. So Dustin Hoffman, and they were working together, and Dustin Hoffman's character, forgive me if I'm going to butcher this, but was supposed to be up, like not having slept for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so he literally didn't sleep for 3 days, and he was just a disaster. And he shows up to set and just like a wreck. And he sits down with Laurence Olivier and he's like, yeah, this is what I've been doing. I'm so tired. Blah, blah, blah. And Laurence Olivier was like, haven't you heard of acting? And so I needed to make a shift for my own health, like for my own mental health and mm-hmm. for my health of my family and my physical health and just like spiritual health and all everything. I just needed to become just like a more whole person for myself and more of an actor, honestly. Yeah. And so now I'm sorry, a long-winded answer to get back to. I don't have a specific method except that I just try and understand what the person's going through and put myself in it. So, you know, I want to bring as much honor to whatever character I'm portraying as I can, in the sense that like every person that we portray, every character is the leading lady, leading man of their own story, of their own life, right? And and mostly trying to do the right thing. You know, even villains, which I love to play, are in their minds doing the right thing. Yep. And so I just try never to judge my characters. I try to always come at them with as much compassion and humility and honesty as I can, so that because people want to see, you know, people want to see themselves on screen. And I don't know. I try to get out of the way as well as be fully present mm-hmm. as within that character.
Yeah. I get it. And I love it. I love the fact that whenever, I mean, like the whole process itself, I find it like pretty interesting whenever they are about to, you know, present us a character that mm-hmm. most of the times might be totally opposite from the real you, let's say, you know, yeah. But it's really cool whenever they get the chance, like to really, I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, like on a TV show, film, play, like whatever, they will present us as characters. And what I find amazing is when the audience, so like somehow, like, yeah, like somehow something connects to it and you mm-hmm. actually care about the character. You actually have real feelings, regardless that it's a fictional story, but you have like real feelings into a point that sometimes if the character for some reason it dies, you will truly feel sad about it and sometimes even cry about it, you know. And it's real, and it's a real feeling, you know, what you are experiencing there. So I find that really, yeah, yeah. Like really fascinating, like that, you know, like that whole process there.
Mm-hmm. yeah like a good villain you should really love, you know.
Yep.
Like, did you watch Breaking Bad?
Oh, one of my favorites for sure.
Mine too. We just watched it again. And I was just struck by Gustavo Fring, that character, Giancarlo Esposito's mm-hmm. character, how brilliant he is. Cause he's such a man, you just love him. You mm-hmm. just love him. Rooting for him at the same time you're like repelled by him. And what a brilliant character. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the fact that throughout the whole show, there's a moment in which you realize that you are actually cheering for the bad guy, which mm-hmm. is Walter.
Which is Walter White. Yeah, such right? He's also the good guy, bad guy. Yeah, he's, man, that show is so, that's a dream. I want to work with Vince Gilligan so badly. I'm just putting it out there.
There you go.
Vinny, Mr. Gilligan, if you're listening.
There you go. I love it. Yeah. Did you watch like Better Call Saul and El Camino?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yep. Amazing.
So good.
Yeah. There they are. I love it. And I mean, is there a particular genre or type of character that you haven't portrayed yet, but you know, you will love to explore that anytime in the near future?
Yeah. You know, I, it's interesting. I've been able to play a bunch of different types of roles, but yeah, there's one particular. I have not played like the character that I is the most like me yet, which is a mixture of like comedy and drama.
Okay.
I'm very in real life, I'm a very quirky person with a lot of emotional depth and a lot of like goofiness, you know? And but I think it's interesting because I've played a lot of like the sweet girl next door, especially when I was younger. And then I, when I was so tired of that, I wrote myself a action film, an action short film that did really well. I went to 17 film festivals
That's
internationally.
cool.
And then after I did that, then I was all of a sudden able to play all these villains, which I love. But I'm still just really longing to play characters that are a bit more full, you know, that have more of a all-encompassing, like, oh, I love, I'm watching, or I've, no, I'm still in it. Yeah. Poker Face, Natasha Lyonne's character in Poker Face. Just love it. She's funny and she, it's also got some drama, but it's heavy on the comedy, but there's also action in there. I just love that. You know, so anyways, I'm a writer as well. And whenever I write scripts, I write the women, the characters that I want to play. And, thankfully I'm actually in, pre-production on one of those films, a feature film, and then I have a few others. One that's like a more straight up comedy, but it she's it's like a, I would say it's a grounded comedy. And that one is a semi-finalist in Cinequest right now, which is really cool. So yeah, I there's a lot of that I haven't done yet. And I think for me, what's worked for me in the past and what I'll just continue to do is just to write those for myself, because people really need to be shown that you can do something before they cast you in it. There's so many actors in the world that it feels like if you can't show them, if they can't immediately see it, then they'll be like, well, I can see that that person already does, so I'm going to do that. Yeah. So
There you go.
I'm pretty proactive that way. Like, well, okay, well, if you can't immediately see me in that, then I'll show you I can do it.
There you go. And that's badass. Just saying.
Thank you.
There
Thank
you
you.
go. And have you ever had like a role that made a significant impact on you? And if it did that ever affected you somehow?
That's a great question. Yeah, there have been some that have I like I said earlier, some roles that like affected me negatively and that I was just too invested in them. I won't go deep into those, but you know, oh man. The one that I wrote for myself, the action film, actually really impacted me significantly because it was, again, like I said, the first time that I was able to do something that people hadn't seen before. And it was physical. So I'm a dancer as well. And so to be able to use my whole self, it felt so freeing and so just fun. I felt, again, yeah, I felt so alive. And then fairly recently, so it's actually in theaters on Thursday. I'm in a TV show called The Chosen, which is it's a historical drama based on the life of Jesus and the disciples. And it's a pretty amazing show. It's now in its fourth season. And I have a fairly small part in that, but I'm a recurring character. And because that is my faith, I'm a Christian. And that show is really well done. It's not like so many Jesus stories that are real bad, you know. This one's really quality, great budget, great cast, great production value. That one has made a big impact on me, and I'm just really grateful to be a part of that. Also the casting, like they're wonderful people. So yeah, that one's made a big impact on me. Yeah. I don't know. They all leave their mark on you in different ways though. All the shows, all the jobs. there was a job where I was an understudy in a play. And I was an under, I, you know, like had, I was the understudy to two leads. So I had to learn, and I also had my own role. So, and this was in a big theater company in here in Los Angeles. And I was the understudy to two pretty well-known stars, and they were excellent. But that job left an impact on me, and the fact that I had to learn how to serve versus it wasn't about, you know, it wasn't about me. I needed to be able to know both of those lead roles. So I knew three roles for that play. I needed to know them so well that I could step in at a moment's notice just in case. And it had to be flawless. And I did, but I never was able to. They never needed me. So that job left an impact on me. And then it stretched me. And no, this is not about you, Hannah. This is about you learning to serve the story and learning to serve the production. And so, that made a huge mark on me. Just like, no, that's actually what life's about. It's rarely about us being the star of everything. It's about us showing up for others. And, sometimes you get to be the star and sometimes you don't. And neither one should be, better than the other. Honestly, I don't know, it's challenging in its own way, but it's also like really life-giving. And, yeah, so that made an impact on me for sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Now,
how you handle the pressure and expectations that come when you were about to play a character?
How do I handle? Okay. Well, that's a great question. I try not to think about other people's expectations about it, because it doesn't matter. My expectations for myself are probably higher anyways, because I have really high expectations and high, I'm a high achiever. And that's sometimes, its own problem. But I just try and get out of the way and say, this isn't about me. Again, I try and look at my career like it's not to build up the Hannah world. It's just to like, no, this is what I'm meant to do. And this is where my deep gladness meets the world's greatest needs, which is to, you know, we make art so that people can experience themselves and experience their stories and better understand them, whether that's comedy or drama, you know, like that's what we do. And so, I have to, but again, like I'm a very spiritual person. So I have to like filter all that through prayer, lots of prayer and meditation. And, cause otherwise I'm not good enough to do that on my own. I have to have like, God has to be the one that, allows me to just be my own person, apart from people's expectations or my own. Yeah. But I just try not to think about it. And I just try to do my best work. Cause that's all that it's about. It's about my best work. And if I've done my best work, then if the project is awesome, that's great. If it's not awesome, I've still done my best work. And, and hopefully I can just like, let it go at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of things that sometimes my point here is that sometimes, you know, you can give like the best performance of your life, but if the soundtrack was not on cue something outside was not on time,
right,
perhaps that can ruin like a little bit like the whole experience. And, you know, like the other day I was checking that, like, if you think about it, I mean, when you are about to, you know, to present a character, we the audience, we want to see the best of it. You know what I mean? Like the other day I was having this conversation that in which they were telling that the audience like somehow wants the best of it. I mean, they want to see you succeed, you know, they want to like really make, like that you're able to present the character in the best way possible. So that tends to be like a little bit more lightning to be like, okay, so nobody wants to see me fail, but on the contrary, they want to see me succeed. So perhaps like that sometimes can work to make you feel like, okay,
yeah,
I can do this.
That's so true. Yeah. They're on your side to begin with. Yeah. They want you to do well. And, and you're, if you're trained and you're good at it, like you just trust, well, this is what I've been hired to do. So I'm here and I'm just not going to self-sabotage by thinking the worst.
Yeah, because we tend to be our biggest worst critics ever, and that's the whole, and if you listen to those like little voice in your head telling you, then you're done.
Oh yeah Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what do you enjoy the most about the whole process of bringing a character to life?
Oh, that's a great question. I love the flow when you're in the scene with another actor and
Okay.
you're just really connecting as just two human beings. And you're like, you're just like when things are just firing and you're feeding off of each other's instincts, and it's almost like you're not in a scene, you're just two people. But you're in the confines of your character and the set and the costumes and all that. But man, when it gets there, it's so magical, right? There's you just forget you're acting. And that's what it should be, right? You don't ever want to be thinking, oh, I'm acting right now. No, you want to be in it. But sometimes for various reasons, things can hinder that, and you have to stop and get out of your head. But when you're in that space where it's just like you're working opposite a truly talented actor, and you've done the work yourself to where you get out of the way, man, there's nothing like it. It's just so, it's electric, and it's so life-giving. It's so much fun.
Okay. Now, how you continue to challenge yourself as an actor, but at the same time grow as a person?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because you never really like arrive at any one, at any place where you stay, I don't think. So I'll just speak really candidly about like, so when I did used to be more of a method actor, it was really easy for me to go to certain places emotionally, because of that technique allowed me to go there. But then it stopped working because either I was numbing myself because it was too painful, or there was just things that would come up. They're like, well, I physically and emotionally cannot handle that anymore. And so I had to stop and just find out how to act again. And so I had to work with an acting coach who specialized in like breath work. So that helped me like accessing, which is really fascinating. Accessing your breath actually allows you to access a lot of emotions. So by breathing and just really being intentional about that, you can access parts of your body that are connected to your emotions that you, it's really wild how our whole selves are connected like that. And so learning that skill like has really saved me, as like just on an emotional level, so I can actually be a whole person and save my there's parts of you that are sacred that like you don't want to exploit the memory of your dad's death. Like that's a sacred thing that you need that for like yourself. And so that's just an example, but yeah, so just continually learning. One of the ways I've learned to push myself as an actor is actually becoming a writer. So earlier when I wrote that short film, that action short film, it really was just straight up action. There was hardly any dialogue in it, because I didn't know that I could write dialogue. I just didn't know. But since then I've written quite a few projects, and I've learned, oh, actually I'm really good at this and I love it. And by writing a character and learning the character's arcs, and not just my character, but all the other characters, it helps me to get, it just puts me in such a headspace of like, oh no, now I understand how story works. Now I understand like structure and, the arc of a character and the journey that people have to go on. And there's a journey for the character, but there's also a journey for the whole story. And that serves me when I read a script now to realize, oh no, when you're auditioning, you're not just auditioning for these two sides, you're auditioning for the entire story. And so that's been helpful for me. It's made me an artist and a whole storyteller versus just an actor of a couple scenes here and there,
There you go. All right. Now let's say that one day I call you and I tell you that I want to become an actor. Now, here's the thing. Zero experience, right? So based on what you know and what you've been through, like, what do you think it would be important for me to know before jumping into this career?
Yeah, well, I love talking to young actors and young would-be actors for that reason, because I didn't have a lot of that a lot of people to talk to growing up in Wyoming. So it's one of my actually favorite conversations to have. And I would say, well, it's a hard industry. So first of all, you need to decide if that's something that you actually love. And if it is, then, and you don't have to know everything right away, but if it's something you love, then just decide that you're going to do it and don't let anything stop you. So I would say get in some classes. If you live in a place where there's no acting classes in person, take some online. You need to be trained. You need to learn, because there's too many trained actors who you'll be competing against. You can't just expect to show up and get work. That may happen, but odds are it won't. And so, yeah, get in some good training. Watch movies, as many movies as you can. Watch good TV shows. Watch theater. Get in, be a part of theater. I think you learn more as an actor in a theater performance than you do in anything. But just do it all. And then, I mean, yeah, just do it. It just starts by doing it, right? It's funny. I was looking at my earlier, I was transferring stuff from an old computer to a new computer, and I just randomly came across some self-tapes from like 8 years ago. And man, it's amazing how much I've changed as an actor. And I was a professional working actor then, but I look at those tapes and they're like, oh gosh, you know, but yeah. I was still working. And so, just to know, like, you might not be where you want to be yet, but just start and don't limit yourself based off of, fear or, non-practicality. Just if this is something that you have a desire to do, just do it. And time will be your best friend in it. And you will get better, and people will get to know you. And over time, you can build a career.
There you go. I tell you what, if I ever become an actor, if at some point I win something, I'll be mentioning you in my thank you speech.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Count on it. That's going to happen for sure. But anyway, and you know, it's interesting, because also the other day I was, you know, like checking all the content that I have created and things like that. And I was thinking about it, like, you know, like to kind of re-upload some stuff that I did back then when I started like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And man, I was watching them and I was like, because like at that point, I didn't know exactly like where this whole platform was going. And to be honest, it was kind of the first time that I was kind of recording myself in front of the camera. So I was tending, you know, like to look like super nervous, you know, and like to try to look the other way, you know, and to try to like hide myself from the camera, you know, things like that. And yeah. it took me like a little bit to kind of understand. But at the same time, I'm kind of it's cool to see those type of stuff, because then you can see how much have you how changed it. Yeah, exactly. Since you started. And
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good to look back and realize, oh, okay. Especially when you, on those days when you feel like you haven't done anything with your life. You're like, you go back a few years and you're like, okay.
No. Oh. Yeah, it's much better. Like the first interview that I have, I'm not going to lie, I was sweating. Like the whole time I was sweating. And at that time I was doing the interviews on Instagram. So it was like an Instagram live. So I interviewed this actress. And then when I was seeing like 200 viewers, I was like, oh crap. I was like sweating, you know, even though that the questions were in front of me, I was keep mixing up, yeah, like mixing up words. I didn't know what to, you know, it was horrible. And, but you know, it was, thankfully, and, the actress that I interviewed, she totally understood that I was like a totally rookie back then. So she was like, super cool about it. And she was like, okay, let me just handle this, you know? And, but yeah, as I was like watching that, and to see now, you know, like the videos that I do now is like a whole new different, like, yeah, like a whole different level right now, which is cool. So.
Yeah, I know. It's good. It's good to remind yourself that you've come somewhere.
Yeah. Cool stuff. And what is the most important lesson that you have learned throughout your acting career so far?
I think that something I'm learning right now, I've learned to say no to projects that I don't want to be a part of any longer. that don't serve me anymore. And again, like, I know that I've said that this is about serving others. It's not about me, but there are projects that don't serve you either. Like, there are projects that no longer, that maybe ask you to do something you're not comfortable with, mm-hmm. or just a level of quality that you're like, okay, I've moved on from that, you know? Yep. So I think that's important to, learn how to say no and to value yourself and value your ability. Cause a lot of times when you start out, and I would say this to that younger person that I was talking to, I would say, when you're starting out, do everything. I mean, don't do anything that asks you to compromise your values or anything, just hard no on that. But like, yeah, I worked for free a ton when I was just starting. I did non-union stuff. Cause of course I wasn't union yet. And I would say, yeah, do whatever you can do just to get experience on camera. And then there comes a time when you have to stop doing that, mm-hmm. you know, to value your product, because you're now like, you're not just like me, I'm trying to be an actor, you know, like, I'm a professional actor and this is my product and I'm selling this. And if you want to buy it, you have to value it. So learning to say no. And then I'm also learning to redefine why I'm doing this in the first place. If it's about me building like the Hannah brand, the Hannah Kingdom, I'm learning that that is not sustainable, and that is not gonna serve. It doesn't serve me or anybody. And it certainly isn't, I don't think, what I've been put on this planet to do. To just become. I don't know, to like, what's the word that I'm thinking of? I think life is so much bigger than just me doing whatever it takes to blow up, so to speak, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. All that to say, I'm formulating this, like, who am I really doing this for? What's it for? Because I want it to be in service to a greater good, not just for me. And I can say that, but I can still make choices that are an opposite of that. And mm-hmm. so, yeah. Hopefully that makes sense and isn't just like philosophical blah blah, because I'm actually trying to formulate that thought right now. Maybe I'll stop right there so I don't keep wandering in that thought train, but it is something I'm thinking about.
There you go. And you're doing it perfectly, just saying.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about actors?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, growing up in Wyoming, where there are not a lot of actors, all I saw were what we saw in tabloids. So like, this actor is, everyone's famous, everyone's rich, everyone's sleeping with each other, everyone's like having a drug addiction, everyone's like, you know, and certainly that exists and all that. But there's also, I think the biggest misconception is that there's just a lot of normal people who are actors, who are also like personal assistants, waiters, Uber drivers, you know, and there are working actors. You might even recognize them and you'll see them waiting your table, you know, because it's actually really hard to make a living as an actor. You know, very few people are like Scarlett Johansson or Denzel Washington. Very few actors are actually that famous, but there's a huge amount of actors who are working actors, but who maybe like work one or two jobs a year. Yeah. They'll be auditioning nonstop, but it's just so hard. It is so hard to get a job. It is so hard to be a working actor that supports yourself. And I am really thankful that I've always qualified for health insurance since I joined SAG back in 2014. But that is not common. That's rare. And I'm not even one of the top, I'm not like the Scarlett Johansons, you know, like I'm a working, just a normal person. And so I think the biggest misconception is like that actors are not real people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actors are very real people and you'll meet them anywhere, especially if you end up in a city like New York or LA, everyone's just trying to get by, you know, And then there are those people that become super famous and they're still just normal people. And I've worked with some of them and they're like, honestly, usually the more famous they are, the nicer they are and the more professional they are. That's what I've encountered anyways, because they know how lucky they are.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not true of everybody, but I've worked with some pretty great people, who are genuinely kind and, yeah.
Yeah. There's all sort of people here, you know, you have like the nicest and you have not so very nice and you have like really asshole sometimes, yeah. But I think that it is what it is sometimes. And like the other day I was seeing this interview with Chris Pratt that he was telling that, you know, before he became Chris Pratt, he was kind of a flipping burgers in a restaurant, you know, and in order for him to eat, he will sometimes eat from what the people left on their plates, you know, like real quick, you know, things like that. And when you hear those stories, you tend to be like, you know, it is possible. Everyone starts somehow, you know, and yeah, we're just normal, regular people at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
There you
very
go. True. I love yeah. it. No. You know, one time an actor told me when I asked him about, you know, like what would be the best advice that he could give me if I ever become an actor, right? And I remember that the only thing he told me was just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Problem solved. And I was like, really? And I was like, yeah, because you never know. You know, perhaps like in a project, you know, perhaps someone was in charge of the sound design and then boom, one day he became a director or someone like that. So you never know. So instead of just be nice to everyone, you know, be yourself and just don't be a dick because nobody like assholes and things like that. And I was like, it makes sense. True.
It's so true. Yeah. Be kind to everyone. Be kind to the people getting coffee. Be kind, like the PAs will one day be the studio heads, you know? So you just never know.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And if you could give one word to describe the feeling when you are either about to step on stage or even in front of the camera, which word would it be?
Ooh, it's a exhilaration. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll take it.
Because it's just this feeling of almost like skin tingling, like I'm stepping into that alive space that I was talking about. I love that. I'm like, I just got goosebumps thinking about it. I love it. I love acting so much. I love acting even in an audition. I just love it because it just feels like, oh, this is what I was made for. Yeah. It's good stuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if your life were a sitcom, what would be the title of it? But also, who would play the fictional version of yourself?
I don't get to play the fictional. Okay. let me think. Who would I want to play? Okay. And what would it be? I think it would be, I don't know, the title of a sitcom. I didn't read this in your questions that you, Dork. No, I have no idea. I'm super weird in moments and goofy. The Dork Next Door, let's call it that.
Okay.
Who would be me? Sitcom actress. Let's go with Megan Fahey.
Okay.
She was in The White Lotus. Yeah, let's go with her. She's awesome.
All right. Sounds like a plan. I mean, who knows, right? Maybe at some point.
Maybe so.
We'll see what happens, right? Now, let's say that one day they call you, you know, a big studio here call you, and they tell you that they're going to make this film in which goes that all of the characters you have played at the moment, all of them, they're all going to gather to celebrate your birthday. But we need a title for that film. So what do you think that would be the best title for that one?
Gosh, this is complicated. Titles on the spot, man. I don't know. Lots of singing Hannahs. I don't know. I'm just throwing words out. I'm vomiting words out now. What would you title them? Like a jewel, a necklace full of Hannah. No, but they're not. They're not me. There's the characters.
What about, I mean, I just something came up. What do you think? Okay, so what do you think about Smile, Cries, and Cake?
Smile, Cries, and Cake. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
What do you think?
Oh, I like it. I like it.
All right.
Because I like jumping out of the cake in the poster.
There you go. Because I really like picture this, like, so this whole, you know, this long table, right? All of your characters. And then in the middle, it's just you eating cake, seeing how your characters are interacting with each other.
Very cool. And it's sort of like a Orphan Black situation where
kind of it.
All the people are there at the same time, all the clones. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Smile, you know, cry. There you go. Coming 2025.
There you go. I love that.
I
now
do too.
What are you like, yeah, like, how could you describe your whole career, but you know what, this time on a drink,
on in a okay
So I wanna see how your career is. So what drink would do you think that it would fit perfectly?
Okay, well, it would be neat whiskey.
Fair
Because
enough.
it's smooth, but it burns a little with a lingering aftertaste.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take it.
It lasts.
Okay. And also, it kind of gets better with time, right?
Absolutely gets better with time. Yeah. And it's
Good
smoky.
Point.
There's a bit of an edge to it.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that.
All right. Sounds like I have something to drink on
You do.
Friday.
You do. Yes.
All right. And I got a lot of it too. You know, we all have those days, right? That we just want to quit. Happens to all of us. It's inevitable. So how you maintain yourself positive in a moment when those toxic little voices come around?
That's good. Yeah, because it happens to everyone, right? I have a really great community. My husband's super encouraging to me. He's my best cheerleader and friend. And I have, you know, I just have a great community that I talk with. And they really always remind me of like, who you really are, Hannah. This is who you are. So before you're an actor, you're Hannah, and you're a, like this, you're a worthwhile human being no matter what. Right. And then honestly, just remembering that the industry is hard. The industry is not, it's not your mom. It's not meant to fill my needs. Like it will never satisfy me the way that I need to be satisfied as a human being. And it's not its job. That's not its job either. So just reminding myself, Hannah, this industry is hard. And you can leave anytime. You can leave anytime. You're not a prisoner here. You're not doing this against your will. You're doing this because you love it. And if something didn't go my way, well, there's always the next one.
There you go.
There's always the next one. And if it's something I failed at because of my own lack of preparation or something else, then there's always the next one. Right. And I just have to learn how to like forgive myself and also just forgive the industry for not being what I want it to be. And then like, okay, move on to the next one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Epic. I love it. Now, what are some of the things that we can expect from you in the future?
Well, like I said, I'm in pre-production on a film that I've written that I'm really excited about. It's set in Wyoming, where I'm from, and I'm really proud of it, really excited about it, because one of our visions for it is to actually kickstart a film industry in Wyoming.
Okay.
It used to be one, and then it went away in 2017. And so there's no film industry, there's no film incentive, not a lot of crew. But we're going to shoot this movie there. Our vision is to shoot it there this fall. And, with the idea that that'll show the state, like, look what we did without a film industry, without film incentive. Look, how much more could we do with you? Cause I love my state. I'm passionate about Wyoming, and I just want to see, I want to work there. And so, that's something that you can look forward to. And I'm looking forward to that. In addition to some of the other projects I've written, so on Thursday, The Chosen is in theaters, episodes 4 through 7 or 4 through 6. So one, two, and three are in theaters right now, and then four, five, and six will be in theaters on
Okay.
Thursday. So it's cool because it's a TV show, but they're releasing the episodes in theaters.
That's
And
pretty cool. Okay.
it's awesome. And then after it's run in theaters, then it goes to the app that it's on, and then it'll be on Netflix after that. But so I play Livia in that. I play a Roman woman. It's a great show. Really, really excited about that. And then I have an Apple series that I will be in. It got delayed. It wasn't able to premiere last year like we were hoping to because of the strike.
Yeah.
So they moved it to this summer. And really excited about that. I don't think I can announce the title yet. It was an NDA. I had to sign an NDA when we shot this, but I'm
Oh, okay.
main
Gotcha.
character in that. And I think it'll be out in July.
There you go.
I don't know. But
I
it's
love
really
it. Yeah, that's really cool. A lot of epic things are coming. That's super cool. There you go. There you go. And you know what? My final question. So we can all relax. After a couple of different questions here and there. So here it is. What do you think that could be the best title for this episode?
Dan Hannah, Dana. I'm trying to combine our names. Dan and Hannah go deep. Dan and Hannah talk stuff. Dude, no, I'm so bad at the titles on the spot. How about oh gosh, Fun Times with Dan and Hannah. Do
Or,
you go ahead, please? Help.
what are we gonna ask?
No, I was. Do you get people coming up with like genius titles in the moment?
Sometimes, I mean,
Oh,
sometimes they will amaze me and be like on spot. Sometimes they will take like a little bit of time. And there's even like sometimes, but it happens like super rare that they just go like, you know what, you pick one, and I'm like, okay.
how about Dan and Hannah climb Mount Everest? Because that'll get so many clicks and so many like, it's clickbait. And then we're not climbing Mount Everest, but
Everest.
people have to watch the entire thing in order to know that we didn't actually climb Mount Everest.
Interesting. So it's Dan and Hannah climbing Mount Everest.
I think that's a good one. You should go with that.
There you go. We have a title then. Sounds like a plan. I mean, and also it sounds like a franchise. Who knows? Just saying.
It's like Harold and Kumar.
There you go. I love it. And I mean, at the end, what can I say? You know, the fact that you are pursuing what makes you happy, you know, like your passion, that's pretty badass. I mean, already, you know, because we all know that following something that, yeah, that it is your passion, something that you are really, really putting your attention to, it sometimes tends to be like a pain in the butt. But you are making it happen. You have achieved so many cool stuff. And I'm super sure that our next conversation will be about the multiple thousands projects, even your own action figure at some point. Who knows?
Maybe so.
That
Maybe so.
will happen. We'll see. But in the meantime, thank you so much for making this happen, Hannah. Keep healing it out there. I also want to thank those who, you know, stay the whole episode here. As you can see, we didn't climb up Mount, you know, Everest. We didn't. But who knows? Maybe at some point we will in the future. But in the meantime, don't forget, as I said in the beginning, to follow up Hannah and her social media. Now we discover why she's super badass. So let's put hashtag Team Hannah. Let's make it viral. And again, Hannah, thank you so much for making this happen. Keep rocking, keep shining, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you, Dan.
All right.